Hello everyone, this is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you back on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Now for the last few weeks, we've been studying about the death of Jesus Christ, and in some ways it seems strange to think that the story of hope actually has death as one of its key points. You know, but it was only the death of the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that would be sufficient to pay for our sins. And if you're saved today, just take a moment and thank Him for coming and dying for your sins. And if you're lost, see that you stand condemned before a holy God and turn to Jesus Christ, trust in Him, and know that His life, death, and resurrection are your only hope. Now, as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds, remember that last week we talked about how men named Simon and Rufus played a role in the death of Christ. And this week, Pastor Reynolds will be talking about how a man named Barabbas was affected by the death of Christ.
This morning, we want to continue in our study concerning the death of Jesus Christ by reading the book of Matthew 27, verse 15 through verse 26. The Bible says in this place, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner, called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. This morning, we want to continue in this message of the death of Christ, speaking about releasing this man called Barabbas. You know, as I consider the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, I think oftentimes of the thief on the cross. Oftentimes when we want to tell someone how they can be saved at the last minute, you might suppose, they can be if they will just totally submit themselves to Almighty God and believe on Him, Jesus Christ can wash away their sins. Jesus Christ saved the thief on the cross, did he not? And Jesus Christ can save anybody, even if they are at the very point of death. However, there is another story that needs to be told. The story about Barabbas. Who is Barabbas? And what in the world did he ever do to be in prison? What did he ever do to await the death sentence? And what did he do when he was given the opportunity of being forgiven and getting out of prison? And then what did he do after that? It is amazing, is it not? When we read the story of the thief on the cross, it's told only in the book of Luke 23, verse 39 through verse number 42. Yet, this story of Barabbas is told in all four Gospels. Remember this. The story of the conversion of the thief on the cross is given to us one time in the Bible. But the story of Barabbas is told in all four Gospels. It's given to us in the book of Matthew 27, verses 15 through 27. The Bible also records this same story in the book of Mark 15, verse 6 through 15. Also in the book of Luke 23, verses 13 through 25. And also in the book of John 18, verse 39 through verse number 40. Why is that story told to us so many times when the story of the thief on the cross is only told one time? I think it's told to us to get our attention so that we might stop for just a minute and we might realize that there are sinners in this world, that Jesus Christ actually died in their place. Jesus Christ didn't have any sin at all. He died because of other sinners, and he paid their price on the cross of Calvary. This is the story of this man, Barabbas. His name actually means the son of a father. That's what his name means, the son of a father, meaning that his name is actually unknown. This person, Barabbas, was known only as the son of a father, and his father's name was not ever given. Who would want a child that was in prison for murder he had committed during an insurrection, which means an uproar or some other public strife? Who would ever want that person to be released, and who would ever want Jesus Christ to be killed? This tells us how bad the situation was in that day with the people that did not like Jesus Christ. Even though he did many good things, they did not like him at all. They did not want to be associated with him at all. They didn't want anybody to call them a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ. Barabbas was a notable prisoner, which means he was a marked man. He was infamous. He was well known by all for all of the acts of insurrection that he had committed. The Bible says in the book of Luke 23 and verse 22 that Pilate wanted to let Jesus Christ go, because in all of his examinations of him, there was no fault found in him at all. Yet, because the people continually cried for an execution of Christ, Pilate refused to let him go. Luke 23, verse 22 states that Pilate asked a third time for permission to let Jesus Christ go, but the people would not listen to reason. Therefore, after asking the third time, Pilate finally consented to the will of the people and crucified the Lord of glory. But Pilate should not have consented to the will of the people, allowing Christ to be crucified. But, like many politicians, Pilate wanted to please the people he served, and he wanted approval also from his superiors. In this case, Pilate wanted the approval of Herod. In Luke 23 and verse 12, the Bible states, "And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves." It's a terrible thing, isn't it? Just to do things for political expediency's sake. We need to always do what God wants us to do, even if those around us don't want to do it. Even if they don't want us to do it. We still must do what God wants us to do, and God will always bless. In this case, Jesus Christ died for our sins. But this is a great blessing to us who were lost before they were found by Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ washed our sins away in his own blood. This is a very precious thing indeed for us. In this passage before us, Pilate really puts the question to the people. And he says, whom would they choose to have released? Barabbas, the thief, the robber, the person that is a murderer? Or would the people desire Jesus Christ, whom some call Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the King of the Jews. Pilate asked them this question, do you want Barabbas loose or do you want Jesus loosed? Pilate, on purpose, proposed this situation to the people, not doubting that the people would prefer to release Jesus Christ, whatever were their prejudices against Christ, before they would give consent to release such a scandalous person as Barabbas. I think that Pilate thought that if the people would just consider the situation for just a second, they would immediately change their minds and let Jesus Christ go free. I don't think that Pilate was in on the betrayal of Jesus Christ, although he knew about it. It seems Pilate allowed himself to be a pawn in the hands of the people. You see, instead of him being a ruler, like he ought to be, he was a weak person who allowed the people to do as they pleased, and he paid the price for his compromise. Think of this. There is always a price to be paid when there's compromise. And Pilate surely paid the price. But you and I, we will also pay when we compromise with the world. We may think, as Pilate thought, that surely we won't have to pay. But we will. Pilate surely thought, I won't have to pay for this. I'll wash my hands. But he would have to pay. The long-term consequences of Pilate's actions, we simply don't know for certain, as the Bible doesn't clearly record this. But there is always consequences for sin. And we need to remember that. There's always consequences for sin. Anything we do that's wrong, we will pay the price. Surely, Pilate thought, even mentioning the name of Barabbas to the people would cause them to be ashamed of their actions and would wake them up from their desire to kill Jesus Christ. But his plan did not work. Three separate times, Pilate mentioned that he would release Jesus to the people and Barabbas would be tried. But three times, the people cried against Christ, crucify him! Crucify him! So, the offer stood. Pilate turned Barabbas loose, and Jesus Christ would be crucified. Some things just don't make any sense to the rational person. And this is one of those decisions that make no sense at all to any rational person. It doesn't make any sense because Jesus Christ had healed many people. Many people had received their sight. Some had been raised from the dead. Others were healed of various diseases. Devils had been cast out. And many that were hopeless were brought to eternal life. Simply because through these miracles they saw that Christ was a very good man, a perfect man, one who is able to wash away their sins. Christ was sinless. He never sinned at all, not one time. Yet Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men. Christ, you see, Christ always lets men make their own decisions, never forcing his will upon any person at all. But if you make the wrong decision, you and I will suffer for that. We need to always do what Christ wants us to do and always be submissive to whatever his will is. Because if we're not, we will pay. We will pay the consequences of our sins. You see, on the cross of Calvary, Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for his own sins. He didn't have any sins. He was the perfect one. He is the Son of God. He actually took our sins upon himself. and Jesus Christ died in our place, giving us eternal life. All we have to do is repent of our sins, admit our guilt before a most holy and high God, and trust the sacrificial work that Jesus Christ has already paid for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ died in place of us dying. He gives eternal life to us who deserve no eternal life at all. We deserve eternal hell. We deserve to spend our eternity away from God. But God, in His grace and His mercy toward us, sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for us. And all He wants us to do is repent of what we are. Repent that we are a sinner. And trust Jesus Christ that we might be saved. This is exactly what the thief on the cross did. It's exactly what it did. He just recognized that he was a sinner. He said, We indeed perish justly. We pay the debt that we owe, and we're guilty. And he turned to Jesus Christ, and he said, Father, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. And there Jesus Christ said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, that's all it takes, is for a person to admit that they're lost and trust Jesus Christ. Don't trust anything you've ever done. You've got to repent and believe Jesus Christ, just like the thief on the cross did. Another point. In Matthew 27 and verse 19, the Bible said this. When Pilate was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The Bible doesn't tell us the name of Pilate's wife, but it does tell us her position. She was the wife of Pilate. During the night, during the false trial of Jesus Christ, she woke up as her husband got up and down, and as he was over all the proceedings concerning Jesus Christ. Her dreams kept waking her up as she, who was not present during the arrest or trial of Christ, she was very concerned about her husband and all of his duties. What affected him, you see, also affected her. Whether she was a believer in Christ, I don't know, but I sincerely doubt it. But I do know that her dreams so affected her that she was so impressed to tell her husband about them, even as he sat down on the judgment seat as a judge over the case against Jesus Christ. This message, you see, came to Pilate as he sat down. So it must have been a very urgent message indeed. I doubt very seriously that she would ever interrupt him with her dreams. But this time, she did. Here is probably a lost person urging her husband to have nothing at all to do with that just man. The word just means righteous or innocent. She told her husband of her dreams. I don't know what she dreamed, but I do believe God impressed her with whatever she dreamed, and I believe God impressed her to tell her husband about her dreams, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, meaning Jesus Christ, who she didn't even know. She concluded from her dream that he was just, and her sense was that her husband would have no hand in his condemnation and death, but rather that her husband would do all humanly possible to release and save him from this cruel fate. It is very possible she already knew that he had gone to some lengths already against Christ. I don't know that. She might have thought that he had granted the band of soldiers to the chief priest to get Jesus Christ from the garden. I think she knew that he arose during the night, and at the request of the same group of men to try Christ. And he was now before her husband, and she might be apprehensive that he was likely to condemn Jesus Christ to death. and therefore sent this cautionary message, saying, "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." She had dreamed these dreams after Pilate had risen from sleep, if he went to sleep at all that night, in which she was very sadly distressed about Jesus Christ. It might have some hints given her of the miserable consequences of the death of Christ, not only to the Jewish nation, but also to her husband and to her own family, which caused her to be very much ill at ease. Some have thought that her dreaming these dreams was from the devil. I don't think that the devil sent her these dreams, but some do. Some believe that she was willing to hinder the death of Christ, and by hindering the death of Christ, also to hinder man's redemption and salvation by it. But Satan had no such intention whatsoever. If this was the case, it would have been better to simply persuade the chief priests and elders to stop the accusations against Christ. But the chief priests and elders were the cause of the accusations against Christ. I do not believe that Satan was behind her dreams she dreamed. Rather, I firmly believe God gave her these dreams, warning her of the terrible things that would happen to her family if Jesus Christ was condemned, not even considering what would happen to the Israelite nation. I believe these dreams she had and the timing of the dreams were meant to get the attention of Pilate, as the message came to Pilate just as he sat on the seat of judgment. It was just simply another way God had of giving a testimony concerning the innocence of Christ. This testimony from Pilate's wife came at just the right time, when Pilate sat down on the judgment seat, and it also came from the right source. It came to the one who was responsible for either condemning Christ or setting him free. Some might think that Pilate would be free from guilt. After all, he did try unsuccessfully to let Jesus go free, but because of the people, he could not. I say unto you this, that Pilate held a position of power over the people and should not have let the people determine his actions. Pilate is not innocent of the death of Christ. Neither are the Jews who killed him by desiring him to be crucified. But neither are we. We're not innocent either. We were not even there. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was innocent, yet he died for us. And we are very, very guilty. We should have died because of our own wickedness. Yet Jesus Christ died in our place. He actually took our place on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the perfect Son of God, actually died that we might have life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. He doesn't give temporary life. But Jesus Christ gives eternal life to all who come to him and ask him for it. Recognize that they need it. Just like the thief on the cross, he had to repent. He had to recognize what he was. He was a sinner. He was just to die. But he trusted Jesus Christ, and Jesus gave him eternal life. This is how it works with us even today. Jesus Christ, you see, he gives eternal life to all who come to him and simply repent of their own personal sins and trust the power of God for eternal life. One final thought. What happened to Barabbas after he was released from prison? What happened to the man? The Bible simply doesn't say. It is my opinion that God really doesn't want us to know what happened to him. Instead, God wants us to consider what will happen to us after our life is over. Where will you spend eternity? Will you be with Christ forever and ever? Or will you spend your eternity away from Christ in an eternally burning hell? The Bible calls it the lake of fire. Will you be in that day away eternally, forever, from the eternal gracious help that God freely offers to all? But Jesus Christ says, now is the day. Now is the time. If you're lost, today is the day when you need to be saved. Don't put it off. Don't wait until tomorrow. If you're lost, I pray that you might just trust Jesus Christ right now. Believe on him, and the work is done. All you need to do is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and the work is done. I think today that Satan gives us many things to do to take our mind off of eternity. I know each and every person must work so they can survive on this earth. But I also know that work, or any other thing we do, will never be worth it, as eternity never does end. And all of us are headed for eternity, whether we believe it or not. And so the question is this: would you just, as a lost sinner, trust Jesus Christ today? In our discussion about Barabbas, I really don't know what happened to him. I really don't. But you know what I'm going to find out? I'm going to find out what happened to Barabbas when I get to heaven. Because if Barabbas is there, I'll know that the story about Barabbas was worth it all. I'll know that some people heard the gospel message that was preached, and they heard that they could be saved just as Barabbas was saved. But if he's not there, if Barabbas is not in heaven, then I'll know that he didn't make it. I'll know that he was not one of those that God elected to salvation. I'll know that he's not one of those that even trusted Jesus Christ. So this is the story of Barabbas. And what a warning it is to each of us, that we might always be right, that we might always be true in him. Listen, Jesus Christ offers eternal life. Just repent and trust him that you might be saved.
You know, there are so many pictures in the story of salvation, and this real-life story of a man named Barabbas is just one more picture that is in that story of salvation. You know, and as Pastor Reynolds mentioned, Barabbas was guilty. According to the law, he deserved death, but Christ took his place. Christ died instead of Barabbas. Well, if you take a moment, and for me, when I think about when I was lost, I was like Barabbas. I was guilty before God, and I deserved death, but Christ took my place and died that I could live. And to accept his free gift, I just needed to see that I was guilty, turn from my sin, and trust in Jesus Christ, and trust that he died for me. And if you're lost, please see your need of him, see what he has done, and ask forgiveness and trust in Jesus Christ, and do it today. You know, if you'd like to learn more about salvation, please call us at 636-673-2180, or come and see us in person. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we will be there pretty well all day today. Sunday school starts at 10. We have a worship service at 11, prayer meeting at 3:45, and then another worship service at 4:30. And we'd love for you to stop by and just talk with us about this wonderful work that Jesus Christ has done. And if you're not able to come, then go ahead and visit our website at independencebaptist.org. From there, you can read different books and articles and listen to some sermons. You can also check out sermonaudio.com/IBC to listen to full-length sermons if you have the opportunity to do that. Well, our time for this morning is up, but we do want to thank you for listening and pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.